Glad to be with you this morning. My name is Virgil. I'm the spiritual development pastor here at Catalyst Church, and so blessed to be with you this morning talking about kind of this transition message. We're out of Thanksgiving. Everyone enjoy your turkey and ham and stuffing, right? And we're not quite to thinking all the Christmas chaos quite yet. So we're kind of in this weird lull place. And when I started praying about this message, I said, Lord, what would it be to bring something to the body that would bless and encourage? And I went back to, in my own life as a father, then also as a son, how I grew up. And something that was always a struggle was how to navigate the holidays, not just survive them, but truly thrive in them. What could that look like? Because it's a crazy season for us all. So today, I hope that there'll be some encouragement in this. I want to speak encouragement into your life, and that's what encouragement means, is to put or speak courage into, not condemnation or anything like that. Maybe a little bit of conviction from the Holy Spirit to live for Him in a greater way. That's great, but not to condemn anyone. And as I think back of the pressures of what it looks like with the holidays, what are some of the things that come upon us during the season? The shopping, the gatherings, the parties, the obligations, the events, the bills, the hurts, the pain, the disillusionment, the food, the expectation, and the ornaments, and so much more. Fluffing Christmas trees is not my gift mix, but every year I get nominated for it. I do not know why. Maybe the Lord's trying to teach me something through that, you know, the process of suffering and pain, you know. But how do we navigate these things? And we all struggle with these things. If we look at our church, our calendars, they are chaotic this time of year with all those things going on. And underlying all this is expectations. How do we handle those? How can we truly thrive and not survive? Because I believe the Lord calls us to this abundant life conversation. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy." Some of our holiday seasons look like that, doesn't it? The thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're just trying to get by to the next day and the next day. And maybe in 2023, and January 15th, maybe I can breathe again. I'll keep on a happy face because it's Christmas season. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. If we're really honest and dig in, do we see our Christmas season as that? Now we can give all the cliches. Oh, it's the meaning of the season is Jesus, and oh, it's just a glad tidings. I love this time of year. But when you actually start listening to people's lives, it's always another thing, another thing, another thing. So going back to how I was growing up, and my mom's probably going to listen to this, and she'll maybe be happy with it or maybe not. But I remember growing up, Christmas was not a happy season, because of all the pressures of expectations. And I grew up in a farm community, and there were always the pressures of the business and the gifts. I remember not having, when we do presents, there was always the underlying thing, we might go broke. My grandfather, seriously, that was Christmas Eve every year for us. My mom always wanted to have Hallmark Christmas, but it never was a Hallmark Christmas. It will never be a Hallmark Christmas, by the way, people. If you try, it's not going to happen. There's actually movies based off of trying to make a Hallmark Christmas and it never works. They're great rom-coms. Snows, the girl kisses the boy, and they get married, everyone's happy, right? But we tend to think Christmas should look like this. Have you ever seen a snow globe? And our Christmas is like that. We tip it over, and we tip it back up, and it's got the snow falling. It's so cute and beautiful. Most of our lives are a little bit more like a five-year-old or a six-year-old like my daughter is with snow globe. Have you ever seen one? It looks more like a blizzard of life than a snow like falling down. It's like, I'm going to make it snow and frosty. And it's going to be cool, huh, Dad? But that's what we look at our schedules. That's what we look at our lives, our obligations, our business, our work, our church, our friends. We just pile it on because that's what a good person does during this season. But what would it look like to be an abider in this season? What would it look like to truly know Christ and make Him known in this Christmas season? Because I believe God wants us to keep our souls and enjoy the true reason for the season. By the way, that's Jesus. It's not the presents, sorry. It's not the family. I know that's holy ground for some of us, but it's not the family gatherings. It's not the church outings. It's not the carols. It's not the singing. It's Jesus, and it's always been Jesus. He is the reason for the season. And when we put our focus on him, we're able to start navigating in a thriving mindset versus just surviving it. I believe God wants something greater for us this Christmas season in 2022. And it's a way for us to actually make Christ known to those around us. The point is Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. We sang that song this morning about here in your presence. In his presence, everything is taken care of. Here in his presence. So Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Christmas is about. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God's presence with us here on earth. And yes, Christ came, died, rose again, now in heaven, making intercession for us. But as a believer in Christ, who do we have inside us? We have the Holy Spirit inside us, which is the presence of God with us at all times. He's here in our midst as well. So do we value that presence as we walk through this Christmas season? So it's a celebration of Advent. So what is Advent? Advent means the coming of something special or someone important. We've seen many Advents over the last 100 years, such as the cell phone, the internet. They changed their lives completely. We can see some Advents in our world. But the greatest Advent of all time was Christ coming to earth. All history is separated by his birth. We have AD and BC. AD stands for Anno Domini, which means in the year of the Lord, and BC stands for before Christ. We separate our calendars by Christ. He is important. He is number one. He is supreme. He is sovereign over all. So here are a few thoughts to help us navigate this Christmas season. And these, think of them more like nuggets. Not every nugget might be for you today. It might just be one thing. It might just be a thought. It might be, as Pastor Nate said earlier, that you're just here in his presence, listening to, with other believers, and he's going to drop something in your life today, I believe, that will help you navigate the holidays better. It might not be anything I bring up. Might not be a song, but the Lord is speaking today. Are you listening? Here and online, are you listening? That's the point. So the big ideas today are trust in the Lord, be led by the Spirit, practice Selah moments, look to be a blessing, think about the Advent elements. So trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. During the holidays, we make all kinds of great plans, don't we? Hit this party this day, these friends that day, this family that day, and we get everything all figured out. Then we take it to Jesus and say, hey, bless it. Does it ever work out that way? It never really does. Because we're human. We don't see all the different ways. And when you navigate something, there's some minefields, right? Have you ever stepped on a minefield during the holiday season? Who knows where all the mines are? Jesus. So what if we change it from saying, God, here's my plan, saying, Lord, what's your plan? What's your plan for my holiday season? How would you like me to schedule this holiday out? How would you like me to do things? Where to go, what to do, and things to say? That's trusting in him and leaning not on your own understanding. Seek him. That's active. It's not just, well, God's going to do what God's going to do. He's asking us, he's beckoning us into this conversation of seek me in prayer, worship, and lingering would be the word to just being with him. To see where he's going to take you. And he says he will show you which path to take. What do you do when there's two goods? Flip a coin? Call the pastor? We don't know. We're not God. Sorry, we're not. We can give some wise counsel. But ultimately, who's going to show you which path to take? The Lord. The Lord's the one who is there saying, I will show you where to go. And it might not look right to you in the natural, but it's going to be right for Jesus, and you're going to be able to look back, maybe not on this side, but with him and say, that makes sense. That makes sense. It was for someone's life to be transformed, as I know Christ to make him known. Psalm 9, verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Again, it says, he will not forsake those who seek him. That's a promise. But if you're not seeking him, is he there with you? We all have storms of life. The storms are going to come. The question is not so much if there will be a storm or when there will be a storm, but who's with you in the midst of the storm? Is Jesus there? Are you seeking him? And up above it says, at the beginning of that verse, those who know your name. Oh, that's Jesus, right? Knowing your name in culture, in the Hebrew culture, was knowing their character, knowing who they were. Have you dug into knowing who Jesus is? His attributes, that he is love, that he is truth, that he is grace, he is mercy, he is justice, he is mercy. Because then we can trust that name above every other name is when we know who he is and we're digging into that. Not just throwing on the reason for the season, Jesus, move on. But we truly know the reason for the season in our hearts, at our core, it's Christ, the hope of glory. So as we process through the season, we can start to worry, right? About all the different things. And worrying doesn't help anything. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Up above it's talking about you cannot add even an inch to your stature by worry. You worry about what you'll eat and where you will live. But this is what Jesus says. So don't worry about those things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Where, what parties to go to? What presents to buy? What turkey to cook? What cookies to make? What events to do? What bills to pay? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What's our expectation? We have a world full of expectations on us. But what's expectation on us from the Lord? Seek him. Spend time with him. That's the one expectation for an abider in Christ, is seek him and his righteousness. And then he will give you what you need and help you live out and walk out what you need to do this Christmas season. Trust in the Lord. So what are you thinking about? What are you truly thinking about? What are you meditating upon? What's going over and over in your mind? It says in the Word to take every thought captive. I like how it says it in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 in the New Living Translation. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. God's mighty weapons, the Word and the Spirit coming together with prayer and worship, and even biblical community would be a part of that to help tear down strongholds. But we have war in our minds during this holiday season coming against us, and those things causing us to have human reasoning, and then also false arguments. What are some false arguments going through your heart right now? Well, if I don't do that, then my mom's going to say what? If I don't do this, my boss. My kids won't understand if. Because when we fall into expectations, it's really the baseline is fear, and it's fear of loss. And then we fall into unmet expectations. You know what that is? That's called offense. And we don't want to offend people. We want to keep everything really nice and copacetic during the holiday season. So we suffer. Really, we cause our relationship with Jesus to suffer, so we keep our horizontal side-by-side relationships healthy, we think. Notice that caveat, we think. But it's a poison pill, because now we're being led by people's opinions and not by Christ. That's why we have to trust in him first. And then he shows us how to love those around us, our families, our friends, our bosses, our coworkers, our school mates, the people at Walmart that are irritating, or people on the highway. Because we trust in him and he will show us the way. So we capture those thoughts. For many of us, I want to take a moment here for some holy ground. For some of us, we struggle with our thought life. And we need help. We need to sit with a pastor or elder or deacon and have some biblical guidance on how to take thoughts captive. You might need some therapy or professional counseling. I went through professional counseling for a season to start learning the tools to take thoughts captive. So it's not just go do it. It's a process. But for many of us, it's what we're choosing to think about. Are we thinking about the Lord? Are we thinking about what he says about things? Are we thinking about what we feel and sense and looks and thoughts and what the world's expectations or others' expectations or even my expectations are on me versus what does God say? If you can worry, think about the problem over and over again. You can meditate. Think about what the Word of God says over and over again. And I'm going to get on a little bit of a soapbox, so please no one get too mad. You can email the elders at elders@catalystnwa.com. We have no excuse, body of Christ, when it comes to thinking about God's Word. We have free Bible apps, if you want to read, with tons of different great versions and translations of the Bible to dig into. Well, I'm not a reader. A lot of those have free audio versions, too, that you can listen to God's Word. And we need to implant that into our hearts so we can hear and listen to what he's doing so we can live a thriving life. And if you come and say, man, I feel like I'm just struggling and I'm dying, let me ask you, how much time and what are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? I can go up to someone and say, well, you know what? This is not fair and it's not right. I have some men in my life that mentor me. And I said, well, what are you thinking about? Unfairness. Where is that in Scripture?
Well, it's not.
Well, whose fault is that now, Virgil? Are you listening to what God's saying? Or are you listening to what you feel and sense and what other people are saying? Because, guys, the world did not die for you. Your boss did not die for you. Your family actually didn't die for you either. Christ died for you. And you were bought at a price not your own, meaning that you are now his if you are in the body of Christ. If you're not, we'd love to have that conversation, how you can experience the love of God. Please talk to myself, Pastor Nay, or one of the other pastors or leaders after. If you're online, reach out to the office. We'd love to have that conversation. But we're without excuse. We need to get the Word of God in our lives to live this out and not be ran by the world. Martin Luther has a great quote talking about this. You cannot keep birds from flying over your head. Worry is going to happen. You're human. Worry is going to happen. But you can't keep that from flying over your head. But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's our choice, to allow those worries to find a home in our minds and in our hearts, those concerns, those expectations. So what are you meditating about? Joshua 1:8-9. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Meditate in it day and night. Who wants to be prosperous? Who wants to have good success? We tend to flip that. We want good success and prosperity, then we'll meditate. Wrong. You meditate and you're obedient to God's word, and then he will bring it in his timing, the success and the prosperity, how he brings it. Because sometimes we think prosperity just means a bigger house, bigger car, bigger boat, vacation home. It might mean prosperity for you, might mean selling everything and moving to a foreign land to share Jesus with people. Prosperity is Christ in the midst of your life, leading and guiding and directing you, providing for all your needs. That's prosperity. That's blessing, is knowing he loves me and I love him and we are together. Someone needs to hear this. It's not about your bank account. It's not about how many family members show up to your reunions and your Christmas parties. It's about that relationship with Jesus. And we can get so sidetracked during this season because we put on the cliches of the holiday season of making everyone happy. Because let's look at Mary and Joseph, holiday season. Where was the family at for that birth? I love the nativity movie that came out years ago where they're leaving town to go to Bethlehem, and Joseph looks at Mary, and it's not in Scripture, but it's a great scene because it makes you think a little bit. He looks at Mary and says, I wonder if they'll miss us, because I bet there was some talk going around with Mary and Joseph. They were being led by what the Lord said, by the angels, and Christ came. So what are you meditating on? The word is life. Who wants some life this Christmas season? Get in God's word. John 6:63-64. In this, the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Get into God's word from young to old. It'll start bringing life to you. The word is light. We go into some dark places. We might need some light in which way to go. The word will help bring that. Psalm 119:105. The word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. If you're in a foggy situation, go to God's word. Go to prayer. And you might read a verse that has nothing to do with what you're going on, but because you're spending time with expectation to hear from God, like what Pastor Nate said at the very beginning, even what Pastor Daniel was talking about in his admonition as well, when we go to the Lord with expectation that you're going to speak, even if it's not in that verse, he's going to come back with something maybe and speak to us on how to handle that. He's going to bring light to that situation. The word discerns. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to be able to discern between two goods, what to do, which way to go. Go to God's word and spend time with him, because Christ was the word in the flesh. It says that in John 1. Spend time with him in prayer and worship. And listen to what he is speaking to you to discern how to handle navigating the holidays, not just to survive, but to thrive. And notice, when you're thriving in the midst of chaos, who's watching? The world. And they're going to start saying, I wonder what's different about them. And they'll begin to ask questions. And you can say, I'm glad you asked. Let me talk to you about this guy named Jesus, the real meaning for the season. Take all your worries to Jesus and cast them to him. Give them to him. He knows, he cares, he is willing, and he is able to do something about them. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares about you. Cast your cares upon him. Humble yourself. Well, what does that look like? When we're unwilling to cast our cares to him, we're actually, actions speak pretty loud. Do we trust that God can do something about it? Do we trust him that he cares, he is willing, and he is able? And you're like, well, that's really easy for you to say. No, sometimes I have to cast care hour by hour, moment by moment, because it's something really heavy on my soul, but I need to keep on casting it until it doesn't stick to me and it sticks to him. But keep on casting, because I'm not God, he is, and he's going to provide a way. I can't. He can. And when we do that, Ephesians 3:20 starts to happen. And it speaks about that he can do great, more than we could ever think or imagine with the work that he is doing within us. That's a powerful thing. That's part of that casting the care on as we do that. It's a process. And he's going to start doing some things. And we can have some big dreams, right? But what is God's dream? What is God's dream for your holiday season? Have you asked him? If you ask him, like, seriously, pull out your calendar and say, Lord, what would you have me do this holiday to keep my soul healthy, to keep my family soul healthy, to keep my workplace healthy, to keep my church healthy? What would you have me do? Not taking your calendar to him and say, bless it, but saying, Lord, what would you have for me? And notice, he will have you do interesting things, and you'll be able to look back, maybe not on this side, but on the next side, and say, wow, look what you were doing in that moment. Be led by the Spirit. As we trust the Lord, he will lead us in what and how we should do things. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, fluffing trees this last week, I did not necessarily do it gratefully and thankfully in the name of the Lord. People, if they walk by me, like, why is Virgil grumbling? Well, I'm fluffing a tree. I sound like Daffy Duck there. What's the world say then? Well, that's not a very joyful person. The point is, how are we living our lives, from decorating to taking out the trash to even going to some of those family events that we know God's calling us to go to, but it's a struggle because we don't necessarily enjoy everyone who's going to be at that family gathering or at that workplace or in that meeting. But are we able to say, you know what, I'm going to go there gratefully and thankfully, and whatever I do, I'm going to do it for the Lord and see what he's going to do. Because when we are led by the Spirit, we're walking in freedom, and we need freedom to navigate the holidays well. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. Where there is not the Spirit, there isn't freedom. There's bondage. There's greater expectations. How do we handle those holiday expectations of family, work, you, the world? Be Spirit-led. That's how you can start breaking those bondages of expectations that are not holy and not healthy. Be Spirit-led. Psalm 32:8, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct our path to the best pathway. But we got to be willing to say, Lord, what is that? What is that? Because when we fall into holiday expectations, we fall into this Mary Martha conversation. And this is found in Luke 10. And Mary and Martha, what happened is Jesus went to their home, and Martha was doing all the expectations of a good Jewish woman in that day and age. She was prepping, she was baking, she was cleaning the house, getting everything ready for this great man to come to their house. She was fulfilling the expectation. What was Mary doing? Sitting at Christ's feet. And Martha finally gets fed up. And we just get fed up during the holiday season with expectations, and we finally blow. God, don't you know what I'm doing here? How much I'm loving people? How I'll make you the center of everything? But this is what Jesus says to Martha. He answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, many Christmas things, many holiday things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Being with Jesus before doing for Jesus. Being with Jesus before doing for Jesus. Go there first. Don't go fall into, I have this assumption of what God would want me to do this Christmas season. Go to him first. Listen to him. Martha's, I'm a Martha. I want to go be a doer, but God's teaching me and has been teaching me how to be a Mary and set his feet first and listen. But also, if you're more of a Mary, say, man, I just love being at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes we're still sitting on the couch, and Jesus left the room. I'm being honest. And he's saying, no, go to your neighbor. Go to that family member. Go make restitution. Go forgive. Go help bring restoration to your world. You've been being. Now it's time to start doing. We can fall into one of those two ditches. We need to stay at the feet of Jesus, but then listen to what he's asking us to do in this world. Knowing Christ and make him known. That's what it's about. So this is practicing Selah moments. What are Selah moments? In Psalms, we see this word pop up multiple times. It means to pause, to reflect, or it's a musical moment is what they talk about. I think of it because the Psalms are kind of bluesy. I think that's a really good blues riff right there when it says Selah. What happens in a good blues riff or a good electric guitar riff or a good riff in some music or a piano solo or a drum solo? You sit back and just listen like, man, that's good. That's good. You process and think. So we need to have practice Selah moments of pausing, reflecting, and if you will, listen to the music of heaven. During the Christmas season, what is going on? What is it saying to you? Look for these moments. Be intentional with them. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Pause. Reflect. When do I do this? When can you do this? When you're driving in the car, turn off the radio and take a pause moment, even while you're driving, in the grocery line. At night before you put your head down to sleep, you can take a moment and say, God, thank you for dot, 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 for a green light or for a red light, either one. You can also take a pause moment and say, Lord, what are you saying right now in that moment? It also can be a moment of saying, Lord, I need your help, but don't just keep on grinding through the day. And grinding and grinding. If you need to bring your stress level down, start practicing Selah moments. Moments to breathe. Moments to rest. Moments just to hear the guitar riff in heaven. Because it will speak life to you. And it will help you navigate this season. This is practicing gratitude and thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, it talks about how we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's where Jesus is entering into his presence with thanksgiving and gratitude. That's how we go there, is through praise and worship, through gratitude. Not just singing words on a screen. That's not the heart behind worship. The heart behind worship is heart, not just the doing, but the heart of a worshiper. Because that's how you go into the find healing, you find blessing, you find restoration, redemption, future, hope, all the things you're longing for. Every need you have is found in the presence of God. How do we enter? Through thanksgiving and praise. Because when we do those things, we're able to listen and be present with him. And he will speak. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening for what he's speaking? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all things, not for all things. In all things. It might be a painful, painful season, this holiday season for you. It might be a terrible time of year for you. But in the midst of that, don't thank him for the pain necessarily. Thank him for being with you there. Lord, thank you for being here. Even though I don't feel you, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be spirit-led. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for loving me, even when I don't feel like I'm loved. Thank you for these things. Look to be a blessing. As we go through the season, are we looking to be a blessing so we get a pat on the back or to make Christ known? There's two ways. There are two ways. And you're like, man, aren't they kind of the same thing? No. When you give something, here's a great litmus test. When you bless someone during the holiday season and no one notices, no one sees it, and you get no high fives, no accolades, how do you feel? If you're going like, you probably are doing it out of puffing yourself up. Now, we all like being told good job, but if we do it for Jesus, God smiles, and it doesn't matter if the world sees it or not, he smiles and says, good job. At Catalyst Church, we did the share tree. We did the Thanksgiving outreach. We do multiple things throughout the year. Our heart behind that is not to get more social media play and likes on social media. I'm not dissing other people who might do that. Praise God, go for it. But here at Catalyst Church, we do that. Why? To make Christ known through a practical way, showing the love of Jesus Christ to people. Because we want a gospel conversation to come out of that. That's the heart behind it. If no one says good job about how many share trees, we don't care because it's about Jesus going into that nursing home and saying you're loved and you're cared about and we want to not just see you, but we want to know you. We want you to know Jesus and his love. Every Thanksgiving basket we pray over and saying, Lord, let these families know that they are cared about and they are loved and God cares for them. We do not care about the likes on social media. We care about the smile from God in heaven. That's being a blessing. Look to be one. Are you showing off? Are you showing off? Or are you making Christ known? Matthew 5:14-15. You are a light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it underneath a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. This is the key part. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice it does not say more Instagram likes or Facebook likes. It says that they will glorify your Father in heaven. Again, gospel conversations. Why are you doing that for Jesus? Can I tell you about him? That's what it's about. Because when we refresh other people that way, when we are there doing it for Jesus, then the Lord refreshes us. Proverbs 11:25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Have you ever noticed that when you do things for God, for what he's asked you to do, being spirit-led, trusting in him, say a lot of moments. You do that, it really doesn't matter about the high fives. You know God smiles and your soul is refreshed. Maybe you're heavy today. Go look to be a blessing to someone else. Not to get anything, but just to bless them. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's doing something tangible. But be a blessing and notice what God will do to restore and repay you for that. Think about the Advent elements. So if you come from the tradition of Advent, generally you have a wreath and you have four candles and a center candle. And I want us to take a moment just to look at these from God's presence here with us. What do these do for us? So number one is love. When the expectations come, and they will, remember Christ's love for you. There is no expectation tied to that. He loves you because he made you. He loves you because he made you. Because expectations will cause you to be disrupted and cause you shipwreck quickly. So when they come, abide in Christ's love. Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. How many fears? All your fears with his love. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Kind of kick back to that Selah moment. Are you listening to God's song in your life? Are you taking moments seeing what he's singing over you? I would say your greatest need right now, whatever that might be, he might actually be singing a song over you about that need. If you'll take the time to listen and not keep on trying to figure it out on your own. I know in my own life, when I take the time to actually pause, reflect, and listen, he shows up and he starts speaking into those needs and how he's going to provide for them, not where I need to figure it out, but I need to just seek him. Joy, when you're tired and you're at your wit's end, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Peace. When unrest and chaos are all around you, and it will be, Christ will be your peace and stability in the storm. It's not just him being around, but he is our peace. Christ is. His presence is in the midst of those things. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. Lord be with you all. It's powerful. Hope. When despair and discouragement seek to rob you of hope, God will be the hope that never fails you. And again, not hope as the world gives, not bigger, badder, more expensive, but true hope. The hope of God is him smiling, saying, well done, good and faithful, son or daughter. We all want to be a servant, but ultimately I believe God wants to call us son and daughter, and we hear his heart. Our heart beats in sync with him, and he smiles when we do that, when we choose that path. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Next 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on hope. I encourage you to come engage with this content as we look at hope needed, hope fulfilled, and hope lived. It's going to be a great deeper dive into what does hope look like during this Christmas season. I hope you'll watch online or be here in person for that. But remember, the center of it all is Christ. He is number one. And sometimes during the Christmas season, we get so focused on the attributes of Christ. Oh, I love love. I love joy. Oh, man, I can't talk too much about his peace. But he's also just. He's also truth. We can tend to sometimes maybe worship his attributes and not Christ. This is for maybe someone in the room. I love all the Christmas stuff about Jesus. I love the baby in the manger. I love the Jesus that died on the cross, but this warrior king that's coming again, I don't know if I necessarily like him. He's all the same. He's all the same. He is the center of it all. His name is Jesus Christ. Everything's for him and through him. So we're going to have the worship team come forward as we close down. We'll start reading this Colossians 1:15 through 19. This is Christmas. This is what it's all about and always has been about. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities, and the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who raised from the dead. He is the first in everything, for God in his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. That's Christmas. That he is God, he is king, he is sovereign, and he wants a relationship with us that is thriving, not just surviving this Christmas season. As we navigate, He is number one. He is number one. And we keep that, the focus, at the core of our hearts, not just on top of our Christmas letters, but at the core of who we are, we will navigate well. And we'll see Him show up in great ways, I believe. There's some takeaway questions up on the screen and in your notes. Take some time to think through those. Each one echoes one of those points. As we end today, you're going to have to navigate by faith. You're not going to feel this. You're going to have to navigate by faith in Jesus. When you have to deal with expectations of other people, you're not going to always feel it. You're not always going to like it. But when you walk by faith, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, He's going to show up. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. That's in Hebrews. When we seek Him, He responds and shows us the way. If you'll stand with me, I've got one last verse, but I want to speak it over us. Christ Jesus will provide all that you need in this season. If you need hope, He'll provide that. If you need care, He'll provide for that need too. If you need future, if you need peace, if you need love, if you need forgiveness, joy, redemption, restoration, just be able to have life and breathe once again. He'll provide whatever you need. Whatever you are missing, He will be the need filler if you seek Him, if you ask Him. He wants to come into those needs and show up in a great way. If you are struggling with anything, please reach out to the office, reach out to the small group leader, reach out to elder, deacon, or pastor. We'd love to pray with you and be there with you during the season as you process these things. You don't have to do this alone. We're here for each other. Whether here on campus or online, we are here for you. We love you. Philippians 4:19-20. And may God supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord will supply every need you have this Christmas season, and how to navigate this season well and thriving and not just survive it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your love and Your compassion for each one of us, Lord. As this topic today hit many different notes with different people, Lord, I just pray that there was one nugget, whether from the message or from just being in Your presence, from in worship, that resounded with us, that we can know You in a greater way. Because when we know You in a greater way, we're able to make You known in a greater way. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with trust. Lord, as it says in Your word, taste and see that I'm good. Lord, I just pray for them to take that step and start casting some of those cares upon You. For some, I pray that they will take that first step to maybe meditating on Your word and getting into Your word in a greater way than just coming on a Sunday morning or to a Bible study, but taking that first action, saying, man, I'll read some today, or I'll listen some today to God's word, and start focusing on that and not on this world around me. That we'll take those Selah moments, that we'll practice those as a body, individual and also as a body of Christ. Even as this morning, a great application of that was Pastor Daniel just taking that moment just to pause as we reflected upon Your glory and how matchless You are. God, help us to remember that You love us and You provide for every need. And God, I pray for families that need restoration this holiday season. Lord, we don't need You to fix families. We need You to bring healing to families. We need You to bring healing in souls and hearts and minds and bodies, Lord. We pray for those who are ill even today, Lord. We pray that Your healing touch will come upon them. We pray Your healing virtual flow through them, Lord, right now, and touch those spots. And God, we pray that as we are salt and light in this world, that there will be gospel conversations come out of those, and that we don't have to figure out what to say, but because we've been with You, we're able to just share our story with other people about our Jesus and how He's our peace, how You're our peace, how You're our love, how You're all things to us, that You're the center of our lives. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.